This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri at PHP Tech 2016, and my special guest is Mr. Michael Heap. Say hi to everybody, Michael.
Hi, everyone, Michael.
That's an old joke.
It is, but it's a classic.
Now, you were with me last night playing blackjack when I was dealing, and yeah. I almost broke almost bankrupted the house with my hand. So
you did. All I can say is, when you finally make it to Vegas, let me know. I will be on your table.
I am the worst blackjack dealer ever. When Jeremy McCullough took over after me, and he actually started playing by the rules, because it turns out we weren't actually playing blackjack; we were playing Calvin Ball. So, but when you actually play by the rules, the house does win most of the hands. Anyhow, that's not what we're here to talk about, although we had some great times last night here at the casino night at Tech. You have just finished, I mean, like literally minutes ago, a talk on PHP profiling.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about profiling. What's your favorite technique for doing it? I mean, I'm a var, dump, and die kind of guy. So, you know, that's the extent of how I debug and profile. What's the proper way to do it?
So the talk covered a tool called XHProf fairly extensively. Mm-hmm. XHProf is a tool developed by Facebook and open sourced. And it's a PHP extension that really gets its hooks into the middle of the runtime. And it will tell you where all of your time is going, where all of your memory is being used in built-in functions and code that you write, and then present it to you in a nice, easy-to-read format.
Very cool. When looking at when profiling either your code or other people's code, what's the biggest mistake you see people making that profiling helps surface?
It's generally doing something like writing a file in a loop rather than just collecting all the data, then writing once. Mm-hmm. One that a lot of people don't know is array merge. It's very expensive, the way that it works.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the main things we cover in the talk. Mm-hmm. If you're working with more than a couple of thousand items, array merge is expensive because it creates a brand new array, then copies both of them into it, rather than just appending to the first.
Is there a better solution than array merge?
If you mutate the first array, you can just append directly to it. That was the behavior that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted everything for the first and everything from the second. If you need to work with immutable objects, obviously that doesn't work. Mm. But for most people, a for each loop is actually quicker than array merge.
Oh, did not know that. Now, is that true for all the array functions, or is it just merge? Like, is array sort one of the expensive things, or is it just that one array merge?
Array merge is one of the worst.
Okay.
Most of the functions in PHP are quite slow. So things like isObject and isArray, things that we take for granted as simple checks, mm-hmm. They actually take quite a lot of time. Hmm. So being able to say if it's an array or if it's an object, if you invert that and say if it's not a scalar value, you knock half of the time off. So anything that's working with data, inspecting what type it is, what data's in there, they can add up pretty quickly.
Very interesting. Did not know that. That's very helpful. So you short circuit any if statement with something like if it's this scalar or something in front of, or if it's not this, then do that instead of trying to use the isArray or isObject.
Yes. Okay. It's just that isArray and isObject is two checks,
yeah.
Not isScalar is one, and they have mostly the same semantics. Okay. So it's just thinking about the intent rather than the functions that you're actually running, mm-hmm. and how you can collapse things down to use less function calls.
Very cool. Hey, before we go on, I want to talk to you a little bit about Nomad PHP. Nomad PHP is a virtual PHP user group. We are there for those of you who do not have a local user group. If you don't have one, we would love to see you at the next Nomad PHP meeting. We have two meetings per month, one at 8 p.m. Central Time and one U.S. Time, and one at 8 p.m. Central Time, European Time. So, and they're two separate presentations. We have conference-level speakers doing the talks that you see at conferences. We'd love to see you at the next meeting. You can get all the information at nomadphp.com. Hey, your next talk, I don't know if you've given it yet or not, is on code archaeology.
Yes, that one's coming up at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay. What is code archaeology?
So code archaeology is something that everyone does, even if they don't realize it. It's when you get to work, your boss comes along and says, hey, we just won the contract. Here's a brand new application. It's 250,000 lines of code. Can you have it fixed by the end of the day? And you say, well, where do I start? And that is the process of code archaeology. Mm-hmm. You have no documentation. You're not sure what you're working with. And you just start at the edges. And you start saying, okay, where's index.php? How do I get in there? Is there any logging information that could tell me what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Which parts of the code are really dangerous? Like, what do I not want to touch? All of the questions that you need to ask when you see a new code base. And tactics for changing those without breaking anything. And how to work out where to add new features when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your favorite tactic for being able to work within an existing code base like this? And being able to add to it?
So start at the beginning, work out what the entry point is, mm-hmm. try and work out where you need to make the changes. My favorite is actually to try and trigger an error.
Hmm.
So for example, if you're working on an API that you've inherited, instead of trying to send a successful request that might be driven by a database, try and trigger an error, because those are hard-coded in the code normally. Mm. So the actual data might not be in the code itself, but an error, you can just search for it, you know exactly what endpoint, and suddenly you've zoomed straight into where you need to be working.
Yep, and you're right. This is stuff that we all do. I just didn't know there was a term for it, but I am. That is a technique that I use. Or if it's outputting HTML or something like that, I go hunting for a specific string or a specific class type or something like that, just so I can find out where that's coming from and zeroing in on where I need to make my edits.
Yep,
it's very interesting. I had not thought of that as code archaeology, but I guess it's a very apt term. Give us another tip that you use when you're digging through code.
Before making any changes, I like to prove that I know what impact they're going to have. So this has the nice side effect of increasing test coverage.
Mm.
But I like to take a chunk of code, extract that into its own method, make sure everything still works, and then write a test for that method. A couple of tests, because it shows that I know what the code is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the complexity of the code itself is decreasing for future developers that come along.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with code archaeology is the code lies to you quite a lot. Just because something says public function read config, there's no guarantee that it's not writing 10 megabytes of data in the background. So when you abstract things out, you can give it a name that indicates what it actually does,
mm-hmm.
which means that when you come back to it in the future, you don't have to spend the time trying to work out what the code does. You just read the name, and it tells you what its intent is.
Very cool. Well, you touched on something. So as you're digging through the code, you start writing unit tests for it so that you to help you understand if you know what the code does.
Yes.
So unit testing is obviously very important to your methodology in code archaeology.
Yes.
Excellent. I know Chris Hart just will be very happy of that. Not that he's watching. Chris doesn't watch this, but no. He's got his own podcast. Anyhow, well, hey, Michael, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. Thank you for putting up with me last night as a blackjack, as a Calvin ball dealer. Before we let you go, same two questions to ask everybody. What's your local user group and what's the URL?
So my local user group is Berkshire PHP,
okay.
Run by Chris Holt and Jenny Wong.
Oh, yeah.
I actually live with Jenny.
Do you really?
Yeah.
We interviewed Jenny, I believe, a year and a half ago. I was at WordCamp Europe in Sofia. Yes. Yep. And I had a wonderful interview with her. It was very fun.
And now you're going to ask me the URL, and I'm going to admit that I'm terrible and don't know it. It's probably okay. phpbotcher.co.uk, I think, but phpbotcher on Twitter is how I follow them.
Well, we'll dig up a link and throw it in the show notes so that everybody can find it.
Perfect.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your conference schedule to be with us here today. And you're a speaker. You've taken the time to prepare two very good talks for us and help us learn. So thank you for putting forth that effort and helping so that all the rest of us can be better developers.
No worries.
And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode of Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled E-L-E-P-H-P-A-N-T.